Quackenbush, Kelly Gramlich. It's Out of Bounds on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Who do you play for?
Play for the United States of America.
It's been 35 long years. Clinton, I've been waiting 35 years. It's finally coming home, baby. It's coming home.
Social experiments. USA. 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 USA.
Okay, okay. You know, what does that even prove, okay? You chant anything, people will join in. Canada! 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 Okay, they won't chant anything.
You blitz all night! If they cross the line of scrimmage, I'm gonna take every last one of you out. You make sure they remember forever the night they played the Titans.
Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose.
Let's hear it, gentlemen. Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose.
Let's go play some football. Let's go.
What is Chandler Bing's job?
Oh, gosh. This has something to do with numbers and processing. It carries a briefcase.
10 seconds. You need this or you lose the game.
It has something to do with transponding. Oh, he's a transponster.
You are looking live at Clemson Memorial Stadium in Clemson, South Carolina, where the game of the weekend is about to unfold.
Calma, regresa al backfield. De John Watson, pase, touchdown! Touchdown, Clemson! Renzo! Por un segundo!
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcast. Really good. Everyone on the floor as well. Really, a lot of hustle. I liked it.
How great is this? This could be the final play of the college season, perhaps, if Clemson gets a touchdown to win it. If Bama can hold him out, perhaps a field goal attempt for overtime. Watson, touchdown! Hunter Renfro, little man, makes another enormous play. 1 second remaining.
Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
Welcome in. Glad to have you with us here on WCCP 105.5 The Roar. It's Out of Bounds. William Quackenbush, Kelly Gramlich live in the Blue Ridge Security Solutions studios. BlueRidgeSecuritySolutions.com. Wow. I just choked. .com. Check them out today. I just choked like in the middle of a thing. This is 2 days in a row. Yesterday I dealt with it. 2 days in a row I start choking. Like, right before we go on the air.
It's an emotional time.
So what am I supposed to do? Like, it's 12:04, and our epically long and wonderful open is playing, and I'm choking.
I love
our open.
Or,
like, you know, just clearing my throat constantly. How are you supposed to do that? It's a veritable outrage is what it is.
Sounds like a personal problem. I do love our open, don't you?
I really do.
I know some people think it's a little long,
but... It gets me. I don't care about those people. I just don't.
In the end, I still love it.
Ain't nobody got time for those people.
Rarely do I say these things on air, Kwok, but for some reason, I don't know, you choking reminded me of this. I don't know.
What?
Okay, so you know, this show's just gonna have an interesting start here. Okay. You know I have interesting and vivid dreams, right?
Yes.
Not dreams as in goals and aspirations, dreams as in what my brain does in the subconscious when I'm asleep. Last night, I had a dream that you left the show.
What?
Yes. And it was just me. And it was terrifying. And it was terrible. I was thrown into the fire. The commercials were messing up. The buttons weren't working. It was just awful. So I'm glad you're here today. And my nightmare last night is not a reality. We are here. We're both here to do our show. And I'm just glad you're not gone. I don't know where you went. The dream did not explain that. But for some reason, you were MIA.
Well, I can appreciate your level of concern. And when I showed up today, did your heart just leap for joy?
Well, maybe. I mean, I knew you were coming, okay? But there was a sense of relief that my dream was not
okay.
Real, that I was not going to be all alone. I believe the dream was me, intern Chase, and intern Sanders trying to figure this thing out. So I had some help, but
that's some kind of trifecta right there.
Some kind of trifecta. That's right.
We got blind leading the blind leading the blind.
But it wasn't our co-host bond that we have.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
It makes me feel good.
You should.
To know that
you
that's
should.
Real.
Now, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know if you were deceased in this dream. I can't answer that. But you just weren't there.
654-ROAR is the phone number, 654-7627. You want to get in on the phones today. You can do that on the Northland Communication phone lines, 986-1566, 986-1566. The text line is open for you to peruse and chat at Quag Talk, at Kelly Gramlich, at 105.5 The Roar. We encourage you to hit us up that way as well. Twitter is a fun thing. It's just a fun thing. You know, how should I say this? You know, I wrote a piece this morning for the Clemson Inside. And really, I finished it real late last night. Just kind of, you know, pondering, meditating, considering, you know, did I say it right? Did I say it okay? And, you know, I think for the first time ever, no one had anything snarky to say to me on Twitter about it. Now, I'm not inviting people.
Yet.
I'm not inviting people to do that. I'm just saying, like, nobody's been snarky. Facebook, snark. Facebook is where snark resides. And ain't nobody being serious or kind on Facebook.
Are you sure about that? Because
Facebook's where snark resides.
Twitter is pretty snarky. I mean, Twitter is where the trolls live. Twitter is the trolls' habitat.
That's true.
But I guess on Facebook, things are just taken a little more seriously, right? So maybe you might get a little snark on Facebook. The snark I get is always on Twitter.
This is true. You do get ripped on Twitter, you know, quite a bit.
I don't know if I get ripped as much as you.
That's true. It's been a little
tame. There aren't many that get ripped as much as Quack.
Been a little tame.
But look, if they ain't hating, then you're not doing it right. That's
true.
What they say.
This is very true. Hey, we're talking delusional fan bases today. Facebook. I don't know. Facebook on the brain. And I choked this segment. So it's all downhill from here, basically. We're talking delusional fan bases in college football. Based on Paul Feinbaum calling Clemson fans, among other things, delusional and intoxicated. Basically, he had a, where do you get off? Like that kind of thing. Peter Griffin, it really grinds my gears. Where do you get off?
People are taking some liberties now with the snark on the text line.
Yeah.
Tyler Anderson, I think he's being sarcastic. Not sure about Bulldog Brian. I think he might actually hate us.
He is not going to want to hear the rest of the show.
No, Bulldog Brian, you might want to tune out when we talk about delusional fan bases.
Click. Yeah.
Unless
you should come back.
Maybe a Mississippi State Bulldog Brian.
You'll get some joy from some of Pendleton Bulldog Brian.
Sure.
You'll get
Gonzaga
some joy.
Bulldog Brian?
Yes. You'll get some joy in some of it.
Butler Bulldog Brian?
Butler Bulldog Brian. It's probably not Butler Bulldog Brian.
Probably not.
I would think probably not. We did speak a little bit about the Feinbaum comments. We'll have Will Vandervoort on. We'll have Will Vandervoort on to do that. We'll have Will Vandervoort.
This is outrageous.
I brought this on myself on Twitter and the text line. I'm getting destroyed right now. Just, you know, it's totally fine. It's totally fine. I don't know why people were so committed to kindness until people were like, whoa, we've not been snarky enough. We'll show him. We'll show him. We'll be terrible people today. Just to take it back. Hey, you do you, buddy. Whoever buddy is. Pal, bud.
You know how know when you're mad?
Yeah.
When you call someone buddy.
Hey, bud, listen.
Or bud.
Hey, bud.
Buddy or bud. Ooh.
Yeah.
That's when Quack is not happy.
That's rough. Hey, pal.
Yeah, pal.
Pal.
Hey, bucko.
Bucko?
You use bucko sometimes.
Do I really?
Maybe not as much recently, but you've used bucko.
How do I use bucko?
You just have. Like, hey, bucko, like that. It has to be a mean tone.
Okay. So,
it's
like,
not
when
just,
I'm annoyed.
Oh, hey, bucko, like, not to a kid.
Okay, so it's not like, hey there, sport.
Hey there, sport.
Hey there, little tyke. Hey there, buddy. Not like that. It's like, hey, pal.
Yeah.
I like that. Get off my lawn stuff. Anyway, we are going to talk about delusional fan base because I don't see that Clemson is a delusional fan base. And I said this yesterday. I'm a little bit surprised that Clemson's fan base in general, and not the one or two or three or four or five people out there in Never Never Land that every fan base has, but the general tone of the fan base is a lot more reasonable than I expected it to be. Now, when Paul Feinbaum says what he said, and again, we'll have Will Vandervoort on to discuss this. He wrote a couple things. First of all, he's going to make the argument, and I would never make this. I understand his points, but I would never make this argument. He says that Dabo Swinney's actually better than Nick Saban.
Hold on. I mean, what?
That's what he said. That's what he said.
It's kind of like saying, again, I always go with the basketball analogy, but saying Steve Kerr is better than Greg Popovich, right? You just can't say it yet.
No.
Even if you think it, even if it's possible, you're just not at a time, and you haven't seen, obviously, Dabo Swinney's full career, and also you haven't seen Nick Saban's, but you just can't say that yet. Maybe if Steve Kerr goes on to win 5 or 6 more rings, okay. But at this point, and again, when you look at the Kerr-Popovich discussion, Kerr has been coaching for a lot less time than Popovich, so you have to bring that into account. But with Dabo Swinney and Nick Saban, I just think comparing them right now is apples and oranges. Comparing them when both their careers are over, go for it. Let's evaluate.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy to say that, but the apples-to-apples comparison in the first 9 years, I think he makes some compelling points. They'll talk about that at 125 today. Are you intrigued by this, at least a little bit, by this argument about Dabo and Saban? Or are you just totally dismissive, like, I can't believe somebody would do this?
Yeah, I mean, I'm intrigued because I think we do this a lot in sports and just anything, but we always remember the immediate past and not necessarily everything, right?
Yes.
And so maybe when you talk about Nick Saban and Dabo Swinney, when you talk about Dabo, you're not even counting the 2010 season, all right? And when you talk about Nick Saban, you maybe aren't counting some of the lackluster years at Michigan State or some of the failed NFL ventures, right? So, I mean, LSU, he was pretty darn good, and Alabama, he's been incredible. But I think we just kind of want to remember what we want to remember. And he's been at Alabama since 07, which is pretty much the same time frame as Dabo. Now, I would say that he made it to a national championship in year 3. He had kind of a more pre-packaged situation than Coach Swinney.
He did.
But in the end, when you look at the careers once they end, and you have to remember that Nick Saban is much, much older. He is, where's his official age? He's 65. So he's 20 years older than Dabo Swinney.
Right.
And if he's still coaching, we think that Dabo will coach another 20 years at least. And so there's just a lot more to be discovered and a lot more to happen than we can judge right now.
Like I would not say, because it's too nuanced and you have to bend over backwards too much, and you've got to just make that argument work. It's just, to me, the gymnastics that you have to do there is just not a lot. But Will Vandervoort's a flexible guy, and so he can do it.
Willie V's probably looking at this stat. Nick Saban's record, overall NFL record. Do you have any idea?
His overall NFL record. Let's see. How many years did he coach? 3?
He has 1 season with the Dolphins, and then you can count.
Just 1? I thought he was there for like 3 years.
05 through 06.
So 2 years.
Well, I guess that they're talking. Yeah, 2 years. 2 years.
2 years.
Yes.
Let's say.
Two seasons of games.
32 games, 14 and 18.
15 and 17.
Okay.
Is his NFL record. His bowl record's 11 and 9. It's kind of surprising.
How about that? Michigan State.
Yeah, I mean, Michigan State. He was at Toledo before Michigan State. Then, of course, LSU and Bama.
A texter says, that's a really stupid comparison. Dabo will never catch up to that, at least not at Clemson anyway.
How do we know?
It's a fair point.
Did they think that when Nick Saban was hired in 07 that he'd win 5 national titles?
Who's the longest tenure coach at Clemson? Who's the longest tenure? I'm going to look this up. It's got to be Frank Howard, right? Frank Howard, the longest tenure coach at Clemson?
Probably.
That has to be the case. All right, Frank Howard's the longest tenure coach at Clemson. And the best coach at Clemson, Danny Ford, was, what, 11 years, 12 years? I'm going to look up these numbers right now.
Let's see. Frank Howard was the coach from 40 to 69.
Okay.
So nearly 30 years. It's got to be Frank Howard.
30 years. Frank Howard.
Danny Ford, 79 to 89.
So you got like 12 years. Count the bowl game, 78. You got basically 11 seasons. Dabo Swinney going to go 11 years? Is he going to go 11 years?
I would sure hope so.
Is he going to go past 11 years?
I would be shocked. Obviously, can't predict the future, but if Dabo Sweeney coaches for, and of course there's the whole will he leave for Bama, whatever nonsense. If he is at Clemson for less than 20 years, I think we would all consider that in some way a disappointment and something has happened that is out of the plan. If you look at the plan right now, if he's going to be the coach at Clemson through, let's say, 2030, everyone's on board with that.
My point is, if you look at, just even counting that first game, Danny Ford coached 12 years. He's the longest tenure coach in school history. There have only been two coaches that were at Clemson longer than Tommy Bowden's 10 years. It's Danny Ford and Frank Howard. The fact is, no one has had a chance to build the type of program that could possibly contend for multiple championships at Clemson. No one's had that opportunity until right now because of what we just, what we said yesterday with Danny Ford. You know what I mean? Like, as soon as Coach Ford started building, they got popped with probation. And so they had 2 years where they went, 7-4, 6-5 or whatever it was. Remember? And then they had to build it back. And then when they were building it back again, they were going to be great. Like 89, 90, 91. They had great talent. Teams with a ton of NFL talent. And then Coach Ford was fired. So you got to imagine that Dabo Sweeney, it's not like people have tried to do it and failed. Like, you can't do it at Clemson. The fact is, no one's gotten a shot. Dabo Sweeney's the first guy that's gotten a shot in an era in which Clemson can expect to be reasonably competitive.
What about this, Kwok? Think about it this way. Nick Saban's first major head coaching job was Michigan State, okay?
Yeah.
1995. That was about 20 years ago. He was about 45 years old.
Uh-huh.
Dabo Sweeney's first official head coaching job is Clemson. He was younger than 45 when he got it. But so if you really want to compare apples to apples, let's compare each of their first head coaching jobs at a major Division I program when they're about the same age. Nick Saban had two winning seasons at Michigan State. So that's my whole point, is there's 20 more years to write of Dabo Sweeney's story. And we're not anywhere near the end. We're still at the beginning. We're still in chapter one or two, maybe chapter three.
Yeah.
And in Nick Saban's book, we're in chapter 10, chapter 11. So that's the point there.
654 Roar is the phone number. You want to get on the phone today, 654-7627. You want to get in on the program. This hour is brought to you by our friends at First Team Sports. Go by and see them for the best sporting goods on the market. I can promise you, you're not going to beat their prices. You're not going to beat their service. You're not going to beat the way that they not just serve you when you walk in, but they love their jobs. They're going to treat you with a smile on their face. You get that try before you buy policy there. It's unbelievable. And then on top of that, they've got that room in the back, the uniforms, the letter jackets, the varsity jackets. You can go ahead and look at that. It's an amazing storeroom back there where they put all that stuff together, and it just keeps going and going and going. Really impressive folks at First Team Sports. See, that's my go-to place for sporting goods, baseball, softball, football, you name it. They got it there. 2520 Wade Hampton Boulevard in Greenville. 2520 Wade Hampton Boulevard in Greenville. Short break. We'll come back. We'll go to the phones. We'll continue this discussion, and we will get into Kelly's most delusional fan bases. I think we're going to agree on some and disagree on some. We'll do that next. Stay with us.
What business doesn't like to save a little money where they can? Crute LED has partnered with Duke Power to do just that. Whether you need LED tube lights, $4 after rebate, LED high bay fixture, $79 after rebate, parking pole light, $99 after rebate, or 6-inch down lights, $4 after rebate, Crute LED will pass on Duke Power rebate up front to you with a verification of your business's Duke Power bill. Visit online at CruteLED.com or visit their office at 109 Interstate Boulevard in Anderson, right before J. Peters on exit 19B.
Did you know that just 1 gallon of used motor oil can contaminate 1 million gallons of water? Recycling used motor oil saves valuable energy. 2 gallons of used motor oil can generate 36 kilowatt hours of electricity. That's enough to run your TV for 180 hours. Recycle your used motor oil at Greenville County's residential and waste and recycling centers and Twin Chimneys landfill. For more info, call 243-9672. That's 243-9672. Online at greenvillecounty.org.
Mickey here for Zero Res Carpet and Air Duct Cleaning. Summer is here, the grills are fired up, but is your house ready for guests? Zero Res has you covered. By using empowered water with no toxic chemicals or odors, you can rest assured that your guests will be impressed with a clean home like no other and no residue. Mention Mickey Plowler and get 3 rooms for $129 and get your hallway for free. 558-7300. Spell it backwards or forwards. It's the right way to clean. And ask about our air duct specials.
Here in the Palmetto State, us South Carolinians agree, if it ain't fried, it ain't Southern. Fried chicken is a way of life. And if you're looking for the best fried chicken, just mosey on over to the Chicken Basket in Anderson, one of South Carolina's top 10 fried chicken restaurants. From fried chicken to gizzards, chicken tenders to wings, and sandwiches to bird dogs, if it's chicken, it's at the Chicken Basket. Dang good fried chicken right here in the Electric City. The Chicken Basket, Highway 24, right close to Lake Hartwell.
So my sales rep of 16 years up and quits. I'm buried.
I'm swamped. I'm the head of HR for a new medical center. I have dozens of resumes, but no one qualified.
I needed to hire three people with a very specific skill set for a new department. Where was I supposed to find them?
ZipRecruiter.
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 With one click, my job was posted on over 100 top job sites.
ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them.
Their matching technology really worked. Within hours, I had applications from qualified candidates ready to review.
I get results.
They made hiring simple, and it was free to try.
I signed up for free and had the position filled just in time.
People from businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. In fact, 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in one day. We're so confident ZipRecruiter will get you the results you need. We'll let you try it free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/score. That's ZipRecruiter.com/score. ZipRecruiter.com/score.
Hey, folks, summer is in full swing. And, you know, when you're planning vacations, when you're planning get-togethers for family, you don't have time to deal with some of the mundane tasks of life. One of those is, how are you going to get a great shave? Now, you could just run out to the drugstore and get an inferior product for an inflated price, or you could go with Harry's. It's a high-quality shave that's better for your face and your wallet. It saves you time. It saves you money. And what's better than that? Over 3 million guys understand that the switch to Harry's was the right move. They guarantee your satisfaction 100% or your money back. And they're so confident you're going to love their blades that they're giving you their set for free. Just cover the shipping. You get the ergonomic razor handle, the 5 precision engineer blades with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, the rich lathering shave gel, the travel blade cover. You get all of that in their free trial set. This incredible offer. Just go over to harrys.com right now /OOB5. You got to add that tag at the end, OOB5. Go to harrys.com/OOB5. That's harrys.com/OOB5. Don't wait. Get started with Harry's today.
Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramling.
Let's face it, this is not the worst thing you've caught me doing.
Now, back to Quack and Kelly on 105.5 The Roar.
Them jeans are fading in all the right places. To your curves like little erasing. Girl, your fucking little backbeats got me.
All right, welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Most delusional fan bases coming up. 654-ROAR is the number. 654-7627, the Northern Communication phone lines. If you want to get in on this, if you are part of the most delusional fan bases, we apologize. It's probably not you. As I say oftentimes on these airwaves and on the program and generally speaking, on social media, I got this from Dutch Coleman. You know, I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about you. If you're a reasonable fan, we're not talking about you. We're just talking about more your brethren and sisters. How? What is, like, you know, brothers is to sisters. What is, like, sisters for brethren?
Sistren.
Sistren? So we're talking about your brethren and sistren.
Maybe you would just call, like,
your fam. We're talking about your fam.
Someone would still be my brethren because it's like a mankind situation. I don't know. That's a very good question.
You know? It just kind of...
Who knows?
I'm not sure there is one. But, you know, I would stick with brethren, except for you get all mad. You get all mad when I just say he. You're like, or she. And you have it just ingrained in my head now where you don't even have to be paying attention.
You're welcome.
I just do it. I just do it. Let's go to the phones. Will is up with us first on the program here on the Northern Communication phone lines. What's up, Will?
I know a lot, Quag. You were talking about building a program at Clemson.
Yes.
You know, you say, well, you know, I was around. I grew up during Ford, and when he was fired as the year, you know, like right before I graduated high school.
Okay.
So, I mean, you're talking about building. He didn't necessarily get the chance to build the program, but he had built it to where, you know, then we Hatfield could outperform his coaching abilities. Because Hatfield was an administration hire, it quickly became evident that, well, he's not going to be any good. And then Tommy West was the good old boy Danny hire. And then you brought in Tommy Bowden, and he got 10. Some people would say that was probably 5 years too long to try to build a program. You know, Bowden, I've always thought of Tommy Bowden as he was going to take us to the mountain, but he'd never lead us over the mountaintop.
And you know
what? What Dabo has done.
I'll be honest with you, Will. I feel like that's a criticism of Tommy Bowden. But when you look at Dabo, if you're not a Clemson fan or you don't know Dabo Swinney or whatnot, and I hear from a lot of you on a regular basis, a lot of people just go, oh, come on. Like, that's just, you're just pumping sunshine where it don't shine. Like, don't do that.
No. I've read the man's story. I've read everything about him. I'm a huge Clemson fan. But, I'm not poo-pooing Bowden. I mean, Bowden was he was a great coach, and he helped lay some of the foundation
sure.
for what Dabo inherited. But you have to also remember, Dabo was the recruiting coordinator toward the end that got all of the major, major talent that he ended up reaping the benefits from.
Sure.
But Bowden did give us a name. My biggest knock on Bowden was right after Rodriguez left, we were, what offense are we going to run this week? Are we going to try this? Are we going to try this? He never could find that thing that he, you know.
For years.
Or that, yes, exactly. And
oh, I think we lost Will. Sorry, Will.
We lost him a little earlier of connection.
Yeah,
so he said he was going into a black hole.
We apologize, Will. That's a good point,
but he
though.
Made a good point.
I do want to make sure we understand this. Like, in the scope of his, and I know somebody toward the end of the show yesterday was talking about Tommy Bowden and said, let's not forget Tommy Bowden. Kind of when we were talking about people get so afraid that if it's great in the present, people forget the past. We get so concerned with that. You know, Tommy Bowden did take Clemson from sort of a wasteland type place. Not wasteland in the sense that it was Duke or, you know, some place with decades of heritage of being hideous. But, you know, you hadn't gone to a bowl game a couple times there. And, you know, when I was growing up, I say this. You know, sometimes you don't go to bowls, and that's just who you are. And Tommy Bowden made Clemson a perennial bowl team. Like, you go to bowls every year, and you compete toward the top of the conference, but you don't actually win it. You're not going to get a Dabo Swinney without a Tommy Bowden first. And I believe that as people criticize Tommy Bowden, I believe that 90-plus percent of coaches in the country that were at Clemson in the time that Tommy Bowden did would have done exactly as Tommy Bowden did. So I think Tommy Bowden could have been a top 20% coach. The difference with Dabo Swinney is he's in the upper echelon. He's an elite human, first of all. He's an elite tactician. I think people don't understand that, but you've got to be an elite tactician to put other tactically sound people around you. I think he understands good tactics, and he is.
He's an elite CEO.
He is an elite
which
CEO.
Which you have to be as a head coach.
Leadership. He's got his head screwed on straight, and a lot of times he does these things by accident. Like, people who really have to try, he just does it, you know, rolling out of bed in the morning, because that's the kind of person, that's the type of preparation that he has. So when we talk about the history of Clemson football, I don't think Tommy Bowden was average. I don't think he was average by any means. I think he did what 90% of coaches would have done at Clemson from 1999 to 2008. And Dabo Swinney has been exceptionally good.
Sure.
Dabo Swinney hasn't created some sort of a new normal where 50 years from now and four coaches later, every coach has had success at Clemson. I don't believe that's the case.
He was the stepping stone. And the reality of all of this is that Tommy Bowden hired Dabo Swinney.
Out of real estate.
Yes. I mean, Clemson would not, there's no way to frame this other than this. This statement is 100% true. You can't dispute this. Clemson would not have Dabo Swinney without Tommy Bowden, period.
Sure.
He hired him. He brought him in. He believed in him. He let him take the lead on a lot of recruiting. You have to thank Tommy Bowden. You do. Even though some years maybe you weren't as pleased with the guy, in the end, the way it all worked out, he played a major role. Same thing with Terry Don Phillips. You have to thank Terry Don Phillips for hiring Dabo, for taking the risk on this wide receivers coach and saying, hey, we're going to go with him, even though a lot of people are saying this doesn't make sense, it's against common knowledge, whatever. You have to thank those two guys.
Well, it does. It feels like the epitome of delusional when we talk about winning multiple championships at Clemson, because it just felt like it wasn't ever going to happen. But as Dabo said, Danny Ford won a national championship in 1981. That gave him confidence it could happen again.
Yeah.
If you assume for a second that Danny Ford did build a national contender, and I think pretty much anybody who understands what was happening at that time, I know Will Vandevor can speak to this because we've had many conversations about it, and he did build that type of program. There was that type of foundation in place. They were about to win the ACC most years. They were about to run it, you know, without Florida State. But at the end of the day, he had the rug ripped out from under him twice. Now, some of that was his fault. Some of it was other people. We talked about playing a blame game yesterday. Regardless of whose fault it is or primarily whose fault it is, the reality is it didn't happen. Dabo Swinney's got an opportunity now that nobody in the history of Clemson football has ever had. So to say based on history what he can and can't do, I think is number one, to miss how uncommonly great he is at his job. And number two, it's to miss that it has happened before. Mm-hmm. At Clemson, there were just other things that got in the way that probably aren't going to be roadblocks. And there could be other ones, but they probably aren't going to be those type of roadblocks this time around.
National championships have happened at Clemson before, but back-to-back title appearances and six straight 10-win seasons has not happened.
Correct.
So there is part of Dabo that we haven't seen before, or what he's provided for Clemson. And Kwok, on this show, we're big numbers people, right?
We love numbers.
I'm just going to read you these numbers. Just quick, real quick, actual stats, hard, cold facts that you can't dispute. And that'll be pretty much all I have to say on the Dabo-Nick Saban situation, okay?
Yes, go ready? For it.
Nick Saban's first Power 5 job, hired at age 44, Michigan State, 5 years, 2 winning seasons. Dabo Swinney's first Power 5 job, hired at age 38, Clemson, 8 years, 7 winning seasons, and a national championship. Again, point being, Dabo Swinney's story is still in the first half of the book. Nick Saban's is in the second half. We don't know what the second half of Dabo Swinney's book holds.
654 Roars, the phone number, 654-7627, if you'd like to get in on the program on this. Would you like to give out a delusional fan base before we go to break? You've got a list of them. I've also got a corresponding list, and I've got a couple of special categories in there. We may or may not get to those today, but the reality is there are some fan bases that border on delusion as a general rule, and I think it kind of speaks to the way that the program's gone, especially, and this is where it becomes obvious, when the administration makes poor choices because of what the fans think. And maybe it's just that the administration is as delusional as the fans are. I don't know. But it does appear that there are some places where the fans have dictated what happens, and it ends up being bad. They end up being, you know, bad moves, bad choices, or what have you.
I would love to throw out a delusional fan base for you before we go to break. And this one is really hard for me to say.
Okay.
It's near and dear to my heart. That might give it away, but I grew up in this area. I hope my grandfather is not listening, but Texas is a delusional fan base.
Why do you say that? In my opinion.
And I'll tell you why. First of all, and I think part of this is not their own fault, not the fan base's own fault, because the media does this every year. Texas is ranked in the preseason poll every single year. They're ranked this year. That's outrageous. Why are they ranked?
Well, we hadn't seen the last 3 years. They've not been ranked in the preseason poll in the AP.
Aren't they ranked this year, though? Well, AP hasn't come out. The preseason,
out
I don't know, ESPN poll. But most years they are, Kwok. I mean,
most years
many
they are.
Years they get the benefit of the doubt. And a lot of these schools with delusional fan bases have this issue, is that the media gives them the benefit of the doubt, and then it's just not reality. So that's part of it with Texas. And then the second thing here is, if you just look at the numbers, right? Between 1969, the Daryl Royal National Championship, that was the year of the game of the century. That was a great Texas team, right? And 2005, Texas did not win a national championship. They had a few that they tried to claim, you know, through whatever kind of polls in 1970 and 71. But throughout that time, it was just a dry spell. I mean, nothing happened. And then, I mean, you had Ricky Williams, but it was still years of 8 wins, 9 wins, 7 wins. Not elite, not an elite level. And then you have Mack Brown, you have Vince Young, you have your good years. That decade, the 2000 to 2009, Texas was arguably the best program in college football. And so the issue with Texas and why they're so delusional, in my opinion, is because that memory is so fresh. I mean, it was just 10 years ago. It was just 8 years ago that Texas was elite. And so it's hard for Texas fans to let go of that. But right now, the old Texas, the Texas of 2005, is so far from the reality of where Texas is currently. When you look at how they have not recruited, think of the quarterbacks they've let leave the state or let not go to UT in Baker Mayfield, RG3, Andrew Luck, JT Barrett. The list goes on and on. Matt Stafford was from Dallas. I mean, you could just go on and on with this list. So they're not recruiting at the level they used to be. They don't command that respect. They have two conference titles since 1997, okay? Even in those years when they were winning national championships, and even in 05, that was one of the years. The other years, they haven't won the Big 12. And the main thing is they can't beat Oklahoma. That's been the issue. They can't jump over Oklahoma and become the king of the Big 12. And they finished ranked once since 2009. Ranked in a final AP poll once since 2009. So to expect Texas to do whatever, when they beat Notre Dame last year and they were back, quote unquote, it's just delusional. Now, having Tom Herman, I think that's a really good start. It's a good step in the right direction because Charlie Strong, for as much as we respect him for his football IQ, he was not meant to be a head coach at a school like Texas. That was a bad move. So bringing in Tom Herman, I think, is a good first step. But to think that UT is just automatically going to win 8, 9, or 10 games this year with Tom Herman, I think is delusional.
I don't know that Texas fans have any... First of all, I don't know what their expectations are this year. I think probably they expect to make a bowl game, which Charlie Strong did once. And then hasn't done in a couple years.
They
I think that's
a bowl
probably
two straight years.
Yeah, that's a reasonable expectation. But I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm gonna normally I'd defer to you on Texas. I'm gonna disagree with you on Texas when we come back.
Really?
Because I don't think there's any expectation that could be considered delusional, and I'm gonna make a couple of different points on that at Texas.
You don't think Texas fans expect to at least make a bowl quack. And they haven't done that in 2 years.
I don't think their expectation
Texas
is delusional.
They were ranked in the top 15 after they beat Notre Dame?
Yeah, they jumped from... They were also preseason unranked. A lot of that had to do with inflated Notre Dame expectations. And we thought Texas was elite because we thought Notre Dame was elite. Notre Dame ended up 3-9. That was less about Texas than Notre Dame, I
see what point you're going to make, and we'll talk about this when we come back. But just trust me in that Texas expects to be great. Texas fans expect to have a return on investment with the money that those boosters put in and the money that Texas Athletics makes and has. They expect a return on investment, and they're not getting it.
I'm going to make the case that what you just said is exactly why I disagree with you when we come back.
All
I'm going
right.
to look at it from a different lens. Hey, fundraise the easy way. We're here to help you succeed and meet your fundraising needs. Over $4,000 worth of coupons. Think about how much money that is. That's an unbelievable amount of money to restaurants and retailers here in the local area. More than half of what, or exactly half, should say, of what you sell comes back to the organization. You're not responsible for any money up front. Don't forget to mention you heard on the Roar to get the special group fundraiser incentive. You sign up to do a fundraiser before August 4th, we'll give you a shout out. Call 752-7383, 752-7383, or email cjbryant@attractionsbook.com. For more information, that's 752-7383, CJ Bryant at attractionsbook.com. Short break. We will come back more. You're on Out of Bounds next.
105.5 The Roar is proud to add Brad Sinkov to our lineup, and we're giving you a chance to meet him. Join us Friday, August 4th, broadcasting the Press Box with Brad and Ben at Local Q from noon till 3. Come out for great sports talk with Brad and awesome food from Local Q and special promotions with Wicked Weed Brewery from Asheville. The Press Box with Brad and Ben, live at Local Q, Friday, August 4th, from noon till 3, from 105.5 The Roar.
Mickey here for Zero Res Carpet and Air Duct Cleaning. Summer is here, the grills are fired up, but is your house ready for guests? Zero Res has you covered. By using empowered water with no toxic chemicals or odors, you can rest assured that your guests will be impressed with a clean home like no other and no residue. Mention Mickey Plowler and get 3 rooms for $129 and get your hallway for free. 558-7300. Spell it backwards or forwards. It's the right way to clean. And ask about our air duct specials.
When you have plumbing issues, why take a chance with who you call to fix them? Roto-Rooter has been taking care of homeowners like you for 30 years, all over the upstate. The owners are proud Clemson alumni, and thousands of homeowners and businesses have trusted them to do the job right from the start. When it comes to your home or business plumbing, make just one call. Roto-Rooter of the Upstate. Online at RotoRooterSC or call us at 288-7686.
Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Did you know that just 1 gallon of used motor oil can contaminate 1 million gallons of water? Recycling used motor oil saves valuable energy. 2 gallons of used motor oil can generate 36 kilowatt hours of electricity. That's enough to run your TV for 180 hours. Recycle your used motor oil at Greenville County's residential and waste and recycling centers and Twin Chimneys landfill. For more info, call 243-9672. That's 243-9672, online at greenvillecounty.org.
The QE Financial Group understands that you get to a certain point in your financial life when you need someone to sit down with you at the table and tell you how to navigate your finances to secure your future. One-size-fits-all investing may not be the right approach for you. The QE Financial Group listens to and understands your needs and can save you money in the process. Trust your financial future with the QE Financial Group in Clemson. Call them at 654-5403 or online at QEFG.com.
Earnings vary based on your effort.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in Greenville and Spartanburg? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Greenville and Spartanburg area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Greenville and Spartanburg are perfect markets for my system, and this week I'm holding a free 2-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get 2 free tickets to Than's workshop, call 1-800-989-4100. Seating is extremely limited. Call right now because this free ticket offer expires this Friday. That's 1-800-989-4100. That's 1-800-989-4100.
O'Reilly. If your AC is blowing hot air, let O'Reilly Auto Parts help bring back the cool this summer. While you may need to eventually service your AC unit, get immediate relief with InterDynamics R134A refrigerant with leak sealer. Buy two, get one free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Worry less with Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Liberty Mutual saved me almost $800 when I switched my home and auto insurance.
Liberty did what?
Yeah, I got the perfect coverage for us. And I didn't have to worry about skimping on Emma's party.
Oh, well, that explains the...
Party! Best birthday ever!
Visit us online to get a quote. You can leave worry behind when Liberty stands with you. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Based on a recent countrywide survey of new customers, coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company.
Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramlich.
Okay, good luck with the slow descent into madness.
Now back to Quack and Kelly on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
I'm more than just an option.
Hey, hey, hey.
Refuse to be forgotten.
Hey, hey, hey.
I took a chance with my heart.
Hey, hey.
All right, welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Hour one continues. Out of Bounds. William Quackenbush, Kelly Gramlich, live in the Blue Ridge Security Solutions studios. BlueRidgeSecuritySolutions.com. Check them out today for all your security needs. Home business doesn't matter. Blue Ridge going to hook you up. BlueRidgeSecuritySolutions.com. 654 Roar in the Northern Communication phone lines. You want to get in on the program today. Kelly put Texas in the most delusional fan bases category. And I'm going to disagree for this one reason.
All right.
Well, really, there are two. Number one, in the era that you described, Texas sort of wandering around in the wasteland.
The past 10 years, roughly, ever since Colt McCoy gets knocked out of the national championship game in 09.
This has been a really bad stretch. This has been probably the second worst stretch in Texas football history in terms of wins and losses and direction of the program, et cetera, for the reason, and I'm also going to kind of stick up for them a little bit. Darryl Royal won national titles in 63 and 69 and then didn't win one from 72 through 05, which he said.
Or Texas didn't. Darryl Royal
Texas
wasn't
did. Right.
The coach.
Right.
Yeah.
Texas didn't win one before that, but they did have pockets of considerable success. Like, I don't think it's a negligible thing to finish in the top 10, which Texas did in 1970, 72, 75, 77, 78, 81, 83, and then basically the entire Mac Brown era. Now, if you want to say from 83 to 2000, they kind of stunk, that would be the case. Because
the
from
90s,
84, yeah, from 84 to 97.
The 90s were a rough year.
Yeah.
I mean, rough decade.
Right. 84 to 97, they finished in the top 25 four times. So they finished unranked a bunch. David McWilliams into Fred Eggers, David McWilliams, and then about half of John Makovic before 1995, the last year of the Southwest Conference, they finished 14th.
Then Ricky Williams happened, and things kind of changed.
And then they brought in Mac Brown, and you can't ignore that Mac Brown had him finishing in the top five 6 years from 2001 to, or 5 years, sorry, from 2001 to 2009, and he finished sixth another time and 10th another time.
But that's part of my argument. You're kind of helping my argument here. From 01 to 09, Texas won 10-plus games.
They were elite.
Yeah.
So this is my point. Where they are right now, why shouldn't they expect to do that again? Like, what is it about Texas that they shouldn't expect to do that again? What has changed at Texas since 2009 that makes it impossible that they get back to there?
Well, there's no Mac Brown.
There's no Mac Brown. I get that. But Mac Brown also went 5-7, 8-5, 9-4, 8-5. So he wasn't even getting back to that.
So,
you know what I'm saying?
So you're posing this question to make the point that Texas fans by no means should expect to win 10 games in a given year.
I'm saying I don't understand why they shouldn't expect to be that type of program again. Why they
That's
shouldn't expect
point,
to go back to 01
do,
to 09.
They do expect
they do.
To be that type of program, and they haven't been, and it's not going to happen, at least in the very, very immediate future, like this season.
I would agree with that. I think they have reason to expect much better than it. Like, there are other schools on my list, and I think your list too, where I don't know why people expect more than they're getting. And I don't get that sense from Texas. If you look at athletic department budgets, okay, budgets aren't everything, but they should be something. Right, if you're bringing in a ton of money and spending a ton of money, you can't go 5-7 in your football program. You've got to spend money smarter than that. If I'm giving money to Texas's booster club, or I'm giving money to the athletic department, or I'm helping supplement this program, the least you should expect is like 8 or 9 wins if you're bringing in $187 million in athletic revenue last year.
It's the GDP of a small nation.
I mean, that's what I'm talking about. They have resources at their disposal. When you have, when you're bringing in that much money, you ought to be competitive. And as a fan, it's right to have higher expectations when your budget is higher and when you're charging people more to be part of that.
Okay, I think you and I are thinking about delusional a different way.
Correct.
So I'm thinking about it in a sense of, you have the right to have these expectations, but they're not going to be met.
Okay.
So you're delusional.
Okay.
And you're thinking of it as, they're not delusional because they have the right to have these expectations.
Right. When I think of a delusional fan base, I think of a fan base that says, we ought to be competing at this level. And in reality, they ought to be competing at a lower level.
Okay. Well, that I guess we're kind of looking at it differently. See, and this is why we just say, hey, here's our topic, and we go with it.
Right.
And that's why we have good discussion, because we think about it differently. And you overthink, and I think.
Right.
Because
I might have Texas in another category of disappointed fan bases.
This is exactly what happens. We say, all right, let's talk about delusional fan bases. Okay, great. I put together a list of 5 delusional fan bases, and Quack puts together a list with 5 appendixes and 3 different sections and 3 different categories and all this stuff.
here are my list. I have 5. Well, I have 4 delusionals, and then I have a tie for 5th.
Oh, and
so
then
I
you
cheated,
have ties.
But you'll see why I have a tie.
This is outrageous.
You know why I have a tie on here. Then I have 5 disappointed fan bases where they should expect more, but they haven't achieved it. So, like, their school is worthy of more. Their school, the budget and the access to talent and the facilities and all, and they just never get there, or they haven't in a long time.
So, would you put Texas there?
I would put Texas there.
Yeah. I agree with that. I don't disagree with that.
And then I have five schools that just don't care enough to be where they historically have been. So I have that. That's my don't care section. You've been great before, and the only thing keeping you from doing that again is that you just don't care enough.
I like your categories. I think maybe the way we should do this is I'll give you my five delusional fan bases, and you tell me basically
which category
they fall into. Because in the end, Texas is still a delusional fan base. They still are. It's just a matter of where you put them in kind of your uber-specific Appendix B of the delusional rankings.
Yeah, if they expect to win 10 games this year, they're delusional. I don't know that they do. I'm not sure that Texas fans, for this one season, expect to win 10 games because of where they've been. I think they expect growth. But I do expect over a five-year period that Texas fans think we ought to win the Big 12. We ought to be competing in the CFP in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's necessarily delusional the way I'm looking at it. The way I'm going to critique some of these other fan bases that think we ought to be doing X, Y, and Z when they can't get above, you know, V, W, U. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I agree. I'll just say this.
I did some weird alphabet there. Sanders is like, that's not in order. He's not doing it in order.
Learn that in stats class.
Right.
When you have the somewhat tradition of a Texas, when you have a stadium that seats over 100,000 people, when you have a budget that's nearly $200 million, you should not lose to Kansas. That's the bottom line.
Correct.
And so when you have the results they've had the past few years, it creates a disillusioned fan base where you are stuck in this era where we won a national title 12 years ago. What has happened? And you expect to still be competing, and you're just not. And so that's how I think about Texas. But I get your point in that your average fan does not expect to win the national championship this year,
right,
for Texas. But they do expect more than what has happened. And so maybe to put them in a disappointed category is a good solution.
Texas's fans, see if you agree with me on this. Texas's fans, as we look at this upcoming season, Texas fans are living in an alternate universe where Texas is competitive. But that alternate universe is not inaccessible to them. In other words,
it could happen.
Texas should be able to get to where the fan base is. They should, and they could. They just have to spend their money a little more wisely. There are some of these other ones that I'm not sure could and should.
Well, and the big thing for me with Texas, too, and we need to get off Texas to talk about some other programs, it's the recruiting decline. That's been a big thing for them. And it just shows how important recruiting is and how important it is to sustaining success. Because the way that Texas recruited in that decade that they were so good directly correlated to what they did on the field. And you've seen that with Clemson as well. Recruiting is a massive piece of the pie when it comes to success.
Sanders, we've made our arguments here. Do you think Texas is a delusional fan base? Yes or no?
Initially, in my mind, Texas is a delusional fan base.
Okay, why do you say that?
Basically, all the facts that Kelly put out, they have that expectation of this coming season. I just feel like a lot of their fans have the expectation of they're going to be right back when the tools are just not in place for them to be right back this coming season, but maybe down the line.
They have a player named Lil Jordan. Let's just go with that for a moment.
They win.
They win already. If you're throwing the ball out to Lil Jordan, that's good for me. Would you like to play win game with Texas this year? What's a reasonable expectation, do you think, for Texas? Just before we play win game with them, what's a reasonable expectation with this program that hasn't made a bowl in 2 years and has a new coach?
You got to make a freaking bowl game.
Just make a bowl.
Pardon my French.
We're going 6-6.
You have to make a bowl game.
Flipping fracking bowl game, right? We'll play win game. We probably don't have time to do it right now. We'll do it when we come back. Because I think there's a lot of potential. They return almost everybody off their defense.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is you lose a defensive coordinator in Charlie Strong, or a head coach Charlie Strong, who is a great defensive mind.
That's exactly our point.
Oh, boy.
When
bless his heart.
You lose Dante Foreman.
And you lose Foreman, who, I mean, maybe that's okay. Maybe that's all right. If he was going to get arrested, maybe that's okay.
Hey. Yeah, I know.
He did. He did. I didn't make it up.
I will say, cards on the table, this is personal to me because I want my grandpa to live a long time, much longer. And if Texas keeps losing to Kansas, it's going to be detrimental.
It's not gonna happen.
This is personal. I am rooting for Texas to beat Kansas and to make a bowl game and to just do something respectable for the sake of Gramps.
End of discussion.
Right.
This hour is brought to you by Locomart in Clemson. Go by and see him. They put that marathon gas in your vehicle that makes it either purr like a kitten or roar like a tiger. Purr like a tiger cub, maybe. The half cub. I know I'm appeasing you. I disagree with you the whole segment. I'm going to throw you the bone for the half cub there. They have great selection of food and drink. They have craft beer available inside. And the staff is wonderful. They love their jobs. They love what they're doing. And they're excited to serve you. You also sometimes get to see local celebrities like Zach Orr at Mr. Orr 24.
Oh, my gosh.
You see him sometimes out at Locomar.
What a privilege.
A little of this, a little of that.
Zach Orr.
Exactly.
In the flesh with his New Jersey plates and all.
Sometimes Dabo and Miss Kathleen get their gas at Locomar. Marathon Fueling America Spirit at Locomar. Go by and see him on Highway 93 across the Bojangles off of 123.
I don't care what you say, though. Nick Saban gets better gas.
He gets better gas?
Don't argue with me, Kwok. Don't argue with me. The man knows his gasoline.
Oh, mercy. Hour one in the books. Hour two, more delusion.